Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Society confuses the natural roles of men and women. Feminists want men to feel that it's wrong to be masculine. The result? Families with either weak husbands or no husbands at all. On today's program, God's view of the role of a dad. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Dads in Charge.
There is a story about a couple that was out to celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary. Both the man and the wife was 60 years old. An angel appeared to them and said, "What would you like for your anniversary?" The wife said, "Oh," she said, "I've never traveled. I'd love to travel." The angel flashed his sword, and instantly in her hand were two tickets for a round-the-world cruise. It was the man's turn. He took the angel aside and said, "You know, I'd really like to be married to someone who is 30 years younger than I am." Immediately, the angel flashed his sword, and instantly the man was 90 years old. And that's the man I'm speaking about today. The man and the family. This is message number 3 in a series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family. And we do have to fight today because the enemies of the family are huge. In fact, in the future messages, I'm going to talk about the enemies inside the home and the enemies outside the home and inside the home. My, how we have to fight. But today I'm talking about dads. And remember, in this series of message, we're expecting transformation. Even as we prayed during our day of prayer and fasting, we prayed for prodigals, we prayed for those who had addictions. And as you pray and seek God, we're going to pray for restoration and help within your family, and things will be different. The miracle within us and the miracle that other people also need. God is able. And we're trusting him for that. Before I begin, I want to remind you of the pain of the fatherlessness in our home. Remember that 20 million children will go to bed tonight with only one parent in the home, probably the mother. There'll be no father. David Meese wrote, "Sometimes at night I lie awake, longing inside for my father's embrace. Sometimes at night I wander downstairs, pray he'll return, but no one was there. Oh, how I cried, a child all alone, waiting for him to come home. My father's chair sat in an empty room, my father's chair covered with sheets of gloom. My father's chair, through all the years and all the tears, I cried in vain. There was no one there in my father's chair." Hear their cry. At the end of this message, I'm going to be giving practical advice to all of us, whether we're fathers, whether we're single, whether we're mothers, in terms of restoration. This is critical, absolutely critical. Now, I don't need to delineate for you, do I, the great consequences of fatherlessness? In fact, obviously, kids who grew up without a father are more susceptible to sexuality at early ages, drugs, and all of the other things that their peers are doing in school. And the problem is that the cycle is repeated over and over again, and today, in the name of God, if you're in that cycle, it's going to stop, and you're going to be headed in a brand new direction. The passage of scripture I've chosen where we begin is Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 2, actually, and we begin there because this is the owner's manual. And fathers, I want you to realize the tremendous power that you have. When you walk into a room, remember this, and if your children are there, they are either diminished because of your presence or they are enhanced. And there are two ways that fathers sometimes destroy their families, even if they are in the home. One way is to be there physically, but emotionally disconnected, uncommunicative, passive. The other way is to be selfish and overbearing and inconsistent in discipline and possibly also abuse. So, fathers, this is for you, but as we shall see at the end of the message, it's for everyone. May I remind you of the first message that I preached in the series? We emphasized the fact that in chapter 2 of Genesis, you'll notice it says in verse 7, God formed the man. He obviously formed him first. Verse 15, it is to Adam that the command goes, that you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, except the tree that is in the middle, the tree of good and evil. Eve is not given that command. Now, Adam tells her, as he should. We discover that, though, in chapter 3. Adam gets to name his wife, and he calls her woman. And they sin, who is it that God goes to first, namely Adam? That's in chapter 3, verse 9. God hunts out the man. Why? And here's where we begin today about the role of the man in the family. Now, I need to say at the outset that the Bible doesn't actually just have, you know, a job description for the woman, the wife, the mother, and a job description for the man, but it paints out in broad strokes their individual roles. And of course, we need the rest of the Bible to fill in some of the details, and we will do that in just a few moments. But I want you to notice that first off, Adam actually has spiritual leadership responsibility for his wife. It is he whom God holds accountable. And as you read the rest of the Old Testament, you discover that the man was to be the priest of the family. He's the one who offered the sacrifices. He was there during the Seder. He was giving leadership because God is putting responsibility for that family squarely on the shoulders of the man. Translated into modern terms, it should be the man who should be the one who should be praying for his wife and initiating it. It should be the man in the household who makes sure that the kids are being taught the Bible, giving them instruction. It should be the man who should be the one Sunday morning helping his family get ready as he leads them to church. That doesn't mean that he has to do all of the teaching. His wife may be a better teacher than he is, and maybe she'll do the bulk of the teaching. But she does so under the encouragement, the strength, and the direction of the man whom God has placed in that household, the man that God holds accountable. Now, what happens in many homes is the father washes his hands, he gives responsibility to his wife, to the church, and he's spiritually disconnected. Is it any wonder that the statistics indicate that so many children today growing up in the church eventually leave the faith? Because if God is not important to Dad, why should God be important to me? And God squarely in the Bible puts the responsibility of the leadership within the home. The church can help. The church can help, but it can only help. It cannot take the place of Dad in the home. And Dad, if you're wondering what it is that you should teach to your children, you'll notice that each of these messages has an assignment. And one of the assignments I give you is read Proverbs chapter 2. Really, you should read all of Proverbs, but read the opening chapters of Proverbs and find out what the father teaches his son. Throughout that book, you have, you know, the father saying, "My son, do this and this." And what is he doing? He's teaching him to trust God with all of his heart. He's teaching him about the fear of the Lord. He's teaching him about financial responsibility. Offer, the Bible says, and honor the Lord with your substance, that it may go well with you. Teach them about money. Teach them about their friends. The book of Proverbs is filled with warnings about bad friends. I've had so many parents say to me, you know, he was a good kid, but he got wrapped up in the wrong people in school. Well, I understand that, but where are the warnings? Where are the safeguards within the home, Dad, for which God holds you accountable? So that's where you have it. Now, Dad is often absent because he's working, he has other responsibility, maybe even travels. But he makes sure that it is being done. He is a partner with his wife, whom he loves, and he is a partner with the mother, and he stands together with them. Number one is leadership, spiritual leadership within the home, shared within the home, under Dad's good direction and leadership. Let's look at the fact that he has to be a provider. I won't go into the text here too deeply because we're going to get to some areas that are very important to all of us in just a moment, and this is important too, of course. You'll notice it says that with the sweat of your brow, I think it's verse 18, thorns and thistles the land shall bring forth, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you were, and to dust you shall return. Clearly, the responsibility of the man is to provide for his family. And in those days, the way you did it was to work out in the field. Now we live in an entirely different environment. With our situation, very few of us work out in the field. I was born on a farm where we worked out in the field. Always hoped I wouldn't have to spend the rest of my life there, but that's where it began. But nonetheless, the father still has responsibility. Now, there may be at times a reversal of roles out of necessity. I understand that. And maybe the father doesn't have to work. Maybe he inherited some money. Maybe he, God forbid, won the Powerball or something like that. Most people who do that, by the way, get into huge trouble, huge trouble. But nonetheless, he has responsibility that the needs of his family are cared for. Dad is there for them.
Well, I hope that there were lots of dads listening today. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I entitled this message, Dads in Charge. It's actually part of a larger series of messages entitled, Fighting for Your Family, that we are making available for you in a video format along with a discussion guide so that you can use it in small groups. But let me say this. It is so important that we as fathers step to the plate, as the saying goes, and begin to understand our responsibility and to take responsibility for our wives and for our children. You see, this is why this message is so desperately needed, because as we look at the landscape today, we live in a fatherless generation. God help us. Thanks so much for joining us today, and please stay tuned now for some very important information.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We're hearing Dads in Charge, the third of 10 messages on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, more on how modern thinking subverts the roles God gave men and women. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.